Because and Clay, the thing I'd like you to explain to from the position of an economic scholar, which I'm not, doesn't the fact that the projections for income from NSRL, VAT, and other sources being less than anticipated support the argument that people not spending or importing as much as you anticipated?
But in actual fact, imports have dropped.
Yeah.
The only reason why they've gone back up is because the almost 26% increase in oil prices, you know,
yeah,
Dennis.
Yeah, I know, they're changing.
But even the governor said yesterday that the other side, the consumption, right, that has fallen.
Yeah.
So therefore, you would expect that if you're not giving increases in salaries to people and you're still taxing them, that the people naturally will have less money to spend.
Right.
But that was the intention of your policy. So you can't accuse it of not giving you the growth that you need. In fact, you're being dishonest by not saying that we can't anticipate much growth because we are trying to stifle growth.
In order to protect the reserves.
Right. Now, in order to protect the reserves. Now, since last year, I said that the NSRL will not yield the revenue that they're suggesting it would yield. In fact, it wasn't me. The Minister of Finance said that. They were expecting $24 million at the time per month. They got only 18 per month. And rather than come and tell the people, well, this NSRL is not going to perform as they expected, somebody went into a meeting and there was instant policy. A fellow who attended the meeting at the Hilton Hotel with the partnership said, sir, why can't we have a coping subsidy? You recall that, Dennis?
Yeah, you recall that.
And it became instant policy. You know why? It was good politics to tell the workers' unions and them, we will look at this position depending on whether or not the NSRL performs. Because politically, it will be nice to give public servants an increase in salary after 8 to 9 years. Wouldn't it be politically?
It would be.
So if you promise them then that this, it is possible to provide this coping allowance or subsidy, then they can live in hope. But you already knew that the NSRL is not going to perform. So what is going to happen now? They may still get it because it doesn't matter now to the administration. It really doesn't. They will do whatever they have to do, as they have done over the last 10 years at the expense of the country. So let us ask what has happened. The debt of Barbados has more than doubled in the last 10 years. Have you seen any new buildings? Has the government purchased one new bus? Have they spent it on the sewage system on the South Coast? Have they built roads to justify the increased debt? And I can go on and on and on and ask questions. But what was happening in Barbados was this. That you blame the external environment for the condition of the Barbados economy. And this started 10 years ago with the world financial crisis. And you can recall this, right, Dennis? I'm just saying what was happening. But foolishly, you turn around and say that tourism is performing at record levels. But if the external economy is bad, where are the tourists coming from? The same economies that you're saying are not performing.
Yeah.
So how come they have money to come to Barbados? Are you with me again, Dennis?
I'm following you on that, yeah.
Huh?
I want you...
The very source of your tourism is external. So how... And then all around you in the Caribbean, the other destinations are performing better than you are. But you're still saying that my problem is externally driven.
I want you to stay with us for a minute here because we have to take a break for the regional roundup. But I want to continue this discussion because I want to hear, there are a couple of other issues that I want to hear you on, including this one about the performance of our tourism sector and or the figures and the way we report them. Because I do recall, I think the former governor of the central bank, when asked the direct question, said, we can't accurately track the amount of foreign exchange coming in via tourism. And I know you worked at the central bank, and I want to have you on that one. Just hold a minute. We have the regional roundup next. Stay with us. The WhatsApp message to you, Clyde, says the prison is not worth $700, but it costs the $700 million, but it costs the taxpayer $700 million. You were talking.
That is ignorance, right? Because that is overwhelming. 20-something years.
All 24, I think, or 25.
Suppose you had to take all the debt that we had incurred over the years and do it like that. What happened? You see, they're using that now because they want to associate that with Mayor Motley. And that's the politics of it. You with me? Not the economics of it. That's the politics. Ah, there you go. Yeah. So my foolish car that I bought, that rusting every day, right? That I bought for $60,000, but the loan ends up costing me near $100,000. It's worth $100,000.
Yeah.
That's what you're telling me?
It's costing you $100,000 to have it.
So that's what your joke are telling me?
I don't know if the person is a joke or not, but that's what they said.
Let me hear it. Let me go there. They got something tourism. Called the time value of money. Let me go, though.
Tourism. One of the questions I wanted to put to you on the issue of tourism is this. I think the former central bank governor, as I said, Dr. Delisle Worrell, said in answer to a question that we could not be certain of how much we were actually getting from our tourism product. And since I know you worked with research at the central bank, and I know this is part of the work that the research department would do. Do we have a handle on how much foreign exchange we actually earn from our tourism sector? How much of it is direct? How much of it is indirect? And do we have a handle on how much of it is offshore?
Right. We don't have an adequate handle on it. And the central bank does something called a balance of payments survey every year. But the response rate is not good. Read me?
Mm-hmm.
No. On the other hand, what will happen is that whatever funds come here will go through the banking system.
Right.
But recall that the private sector banks handle that money,
mm-hmm.
not the central bank.
Gotcha.
The central bank would hope then that some banks may sell them some of this currency.
Mm-hmm.
You with me?
Mm-hmm.
Right. But they don't have the direct say over it. They can determine how much goes out.
Right.
But the intent of what coming in now cannot be fully controlled by the central bank of Barbados. In all fairness, I don't think that we have been satisfied over the last 4 decades at all with what we see coming into the system from tourism itself. But you have to understand that there's something called an intangible called confidence, mm-hmm. which is perhaps the most critical word in the dictionary. And depending on who we are, where we come from, how we look, we can assume postures of confidence that may not correlate with our real ability. Because some people are socialized to be more confident than others. Some will get that confidence along the way in the journey. Some change because they learn. But the notion that you are confident only because of where you happen to be born or the circumstances in which you live, but you don't have the qualities otherwise to determine that confidence, is something that has been misused in this country. I'm saying all that, being philosophical, to say that it's one thing to be confident, but it's another thing to demonstrate your performance to justify your confidence.
I want to ask you...
You with me?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Uh-huh.
I want to ask you this as well, Clyde. Therefore, mm-hmm. based on what you've said,
yeah.
and this measure of confidence, if right. you have foreign investors coming to Barbados, especially in the hospitality sector, mm-hmm. how then does one quantify or qualify the concessions granted in order to get them to come if you don't have a handle on the returns you would get?
Yeah.
Because my argument has always been, if I'm going to say to someone coming to, let's say, set up a Four Seasons, this is what I'm going to give you in concessions, I should then have a guarantee that over the period of the concessions, at least 40% or 50% or 30% of what you consume, whether in product, service, or return, has to come through my central bank.
Right. So it depends, therefore, Dennis, on your ability to negotiate.
And that that depends on the confidence I have in myself and that you have in me.
And and it all goes back to confidence. You with me? Mm-hmm. So when you are in a weak position, seeking to negotiate, you will be taken advantage of. There are two dimensions to that thing about concessions.
Mm-hmm.
There's a political dimension and an economic dimension. So when you are in trouble, someone can come along and say, we know you're in difficulty. And then they're able to secure all kinds of concessions that they need. But the notion of concession born back in the 1960s with a man called Sir Arthur Lewis, who preached something called the bootstrap method, the Puerto Rican model, that we will have industrialization by invitation. So in order to encourage foreign companies to come to the region, you had to incentivize them.
Right.
And that was done over the years so that we can build a better industrial base. But the thing with extending concessions is this. If you extend a concession to an individual in a sector and all the other individuals don't have access, you have biased the sector. And therefore, there's no level playing field. The problem, therefore, that we are having here is that a simple fiscal crisis that could have been resolved in the early 2009-2010 period, if only we had taken the conventional route, has morphed into an economic crisis in which we no longer have growth, in which we can't resolve our debt situation, in which we don't have the guts to deal with the fiscal condition, in which our foreign reserve position now is the worst it has been in 20-something years, in which our people have not had salary increases for the last umpteen years, in which the cost of living continues to rise. So therefore, since you stepped around the issue and did not deal with it at the time, and you continue to pussyfoot around it, it therefore means that ultimately who bears the burden and the sacrifice?
No,
When you had the opportunity to demonstrate that you're equally willing to sacrifice, you took back your 10%.
No, let me ask you this question.
That's the politics.
No, let me ask you a question from two standpoints. One, political, and two, economic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fixing it. Because the first thing you have to do is restore the confidence. The second thing you have to do is take the difficult decisions. And the third thing you have to do is say what those difficult decisions will be. Said earlier, and I said it on Monday as well, repeated it today, that I think, from where I sit, being neither politician nor economist, that at least by September of this year, whichever government is in office, whichever party is in office, should have a handle on the financials of all the statutory corporations, accounts brought up to date, and the decision made on which ones are viable, which ones are not, and how you deal with them. Making sense or not making sense?
Absolute sense. And this is why a
can
government
we do it?
Going forward, this is why a government going forward has to insist that unless a statutory body is able to produce audited accounts within a certain time period to be stipulated, that they can't get access to more funding. Because something has to be done. You see, we have reached the point.
Is it politically expedient to do it?
Yeah.
Do we have the political will to do it?
Listen about the politics now. This is about survival.
But it is. But I don't think that resonates. Survival. But Clyde, I don't think that resonates with the public. I don't think they see it that way. No.
They're not feeling because the effects of 10 years of decay. They have to. And I'm saying to you that ultimately what has happened now in Barbados is that you feeling this in your pocket. This is not old talk. This is not dry talk any longer. This is the ability to live.
Is September reasonable?
The quality and the standard.
Is September a reasonable time?
For it to happen, it has to be done, man. But you need a change. Because let me tell you this. If you can continue to do what is being done, and then there comes an opportunity for change, and there's no change, then those who are in power will feel what they're doing is correct, even though they have failed for an entire decade. So I don't understand how this is going to pan out, because you cannot accept this. You cannot sit down on an emergency situation on the South Coast and tell me that you're procrastinating on it. You're waiting for what? What are you waiting for, my friend? A health situation that affects your tourism sector, which is the backbone of your economy, and you don't have the urgency
no,
to see
two
it
things.
As important, but you can go and do other things.
Now, two things that I will ask. One, IMF devaluation. Putting those two on the table. Are they synonymous? Which one comes first, the chicken or the egg?
Well, devaluation has to be avoided, must be avoided, will be avoided. It has not proven to be the medicine at all that we need. It cannot be even contemplated. But, and you know I can't help, they say I'm not a politician, so it's okay. Now, in the early 1990s,
you were not.
A man called Sandy took decisions that prevented the devaluation of the Barbados dollar. You remember that?
Mm-hmm. He paid a heavy political price for it.
He lived
to ask how we got back here again.
Correct. But what I'm saying to you mean that you are prepared to allow an entire country that has done so well repeatedly over the last 40, 50 years to suffer at the altar of ignorance? Because that's all that's going on here in Barbados. This is the altar of ignorance. And people will come to justify the ignorance because they have a particular political persuasion, rather than see it for what it is. And when people speak on the matter, you have individuals trying to label you as this rather than see the material, what you're saying, rather than the author. Because they're very good in the country at seeing who's the author. And I marvel at it every day. And you sit back and allow this ignorance to persist in a country where Barbados is hurting. Hurting to the core, Dennis.
So we go to the IMF?
And you think about it, we have had a responsible opposition, because if the opposition had to say what truly is the position, I don't know what will happen. But you can't do that, because you can't be looking to assume the position and then seeking to be to destroy. And we know that all along. But you also can't have a situation in which year after year you're being told the same thing, things are worsening, and yet still you have confidence in a group that has proven not to be competent. And that's the reality. And if I'm speaking with passion, it's because we have reached the point in this country where something has to be done. If you've never heard Clyde Masker like this before, you're hearing it now.
That's the political Clyde coming back?
Well, I don't know about the political Clyde. No, I done with the politics.
So you say.
Yeah, no, that's a fact.
Look, done with it. Clyde, let me ask you this as we head to newsstand. The final question that I'll ask you is this. Again, as a non-politician, non-economist, I say at least 10 to 15 years before we see if we make the drastic changes that need to be made, about 10 to 15 years of really holding tight before we see bloom, provided the external factors don't jolt us again, like oil going up and we do nothing about alternative energy. Realistically, projection over how many years do we have to consolidate and rebuild?
First of all, the problem that we have requires this. There are two major factors in production, apart from technology, capital and labor. We have asked labor to sacrifice for the last 10 years. We have not brought the owners of capital to the table to ask them to make a similar type sacrifice. And that is where the philosophical position has to be, that in this journey, the worker of Barbados has been the one who has been asked to have no increase in salary. Because, Dennis, take this. The private sector relies on the public sector to determine whether or not they're going to pay wages in a particular size or magnitude.
Mm-hmm.
And if the public sector gets an increase, the private sector of Barbados is then inclined to go that way, notwithstanding how they're performing, for the most part. You see? So in Caribbean economies, the public sector is critical, not only for governance, but for leading the way forward. And as a consequence, you can see what I'm saying, that we need at this stage, without letting things out the bag, because we've worked on this now for the last several years, right? Because wanting to criticize is another thing to be able to get us out of this rut. Mm-hmm. And therefore, we are prepared to do that, whoever we are. And I'm saying to you that the sacrifice now, you must bring both capital and labor to the table and speak to them clearly on the way forward and ask for similar type sacrifice, and the details will be revealed in the fullness of time.
Clyde, I thank you for your contribution.
It is
always good hearing you. Perhaps one of these days we'll have a chance to sit and interact about that other passion that you and I share, and that's music. And then people know that there's a musical side to you as well, and not only the economic and political sides that they've heard. On the question of labor, capital coming to the table, well, some of them may tell you they held strain when they were told to held strain, and they've put up with profits that have been less than what they anticipated. I wait to see what the outcome of that will be, because this question of trusting each other, I think the same way we talk about a lack of confidence, I think we've lost trust as well in each other. And that's why I made the comment earlier to the lady that some people seem to think I have a love affair with because of her accent. I actually lived in Trinidad, so it's not the accent that's confused me, okay? I can leave that alone. But that the challenge we have is that some people still see D and B, statutory corporation and private sector and public sector, as opposed to seeing people, Bajan people, my people, in the same boat, in the same going, in the same place, coming from the same place. Somebody said to remind you, Mr. Maskell, that funding for the statutory corporations should only be granted if audited financial statements are produced in a timely manner. Please, please remind him that they plan to hold you to that promise. The lunchtime edition of The Latest is next. 434-1790. You can also reach us at brasstacks at starcomnetwork.net, or you can send a WhatsApp message to 266-IVOB. And a person says, country needs confidence, and people will work things out and go beyond the call of duty. Let me add your word as well, trust. There's another one that says, can I listen or download today's program from your website? Every day by at least 2:30, it's podcast on vob929.com. You hit podcast, go to Brass Tacks, all the dates roll out, and you can listen from top to bottom minus the ads. I can promise you that. Usually have it done by 2:30. And this one says, traffic on the Spring Garden is backed up, being diverted between the junctions by Momla Mirrors and Massey Distribution, formerly SBI Distribution, due to a vehicular accident. If you can avoid the area of the Spring Garden Highway, use Blackrock, some other route. If you want to go up over the ABC Highway and go down, you know, Waterford or somewhere, just try to avoid that area. And thank you for your cooperation, and thanks to the person who sent the information to us via WhatsApp. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Dennis.
Yes, sir.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm trying to be good.
I'm just happy that Mr. Maskell just reinforced what I said to you on Monday. All right? Because I, after listening to the program, after I got down, I realized that some people said that I was misleading.
I remember that.
Statements I said. Mm-hmm. Now, I just want to clarify one thing that I said in connection. I was not making a comparison of those economies that I gave you to Barbados economy, because there's no comparison. I was trying to say that we have been giving the public the impression for the last 10 years, I said not 10 years, but 5 years, because I gave the administration a pass for the first 5 years, because we did have a global recession. But I said I could not give them a pass for the last 5 years. That was what I was saying, not that I was comparing our size of economy to those three major economies. That is a joke. All right? Same thing I said, we have been saying that we the position that we're in is because of the global recession still after 10 years, and that the major economies that we depend on for our income is the reason why we're in this position. And I said that is not true, because those I gave you stats that show that those economies have been growing, unemployment has been low, while ours has been going the opposite direction. But anyhow, what I want to say, though, is that I have noticed that our foreign reserves fell from 550 million at the end of September, from 550 now until the end of December, fell from 550 to 410. Now, that's a whopping $140 million in foreign reserves. Now, this is now the ending of January. So if I do my calculations, I would say that that works out at about $46 million a month. And if I didn't, if I do my calculations, right, and if I subtract another $46 million from 410, I would say that we are hovering around $360 million in foreign reserves on average, right? And you know, it is amazing.
Let's hope that you can't do that. Let's hope that the drop is because of the spending coming up to Christmas with people bringing in things, and that it has abated, or that the incomes from the tourism sector is going to offset some of that dip. Because I mean, based on them calculations, that's like you in St. Lucie and your tank reading E, and the nearest gas station is at the airport, and you're hoping that you get there in time. Carl, I know your reserve tax is, but I won't do that on mine. I just say,
I am amazed, right, that we have a prime minister that could pick and choose, fight where he want to fight, and something as important as that drop in foreign reserves, right?
So
cannot speak to the public.
I made a comment once. I made a comment once, and I was humbugged on the WhatsApp by a whole series of people who tell me I'm a DLP apologist, because I simply made the observation that the Prime Minister seems to respond to what he considers political attacks against the party.
Correct.
And he lets the rest of the cabinet deal with whatever they want to deal with. Whether they want to deal with other people's portfolio or not, he has let them deal with it. When it becomes a political attack on the Democratic Labour Party, he responds. The person, I get one set of messages tell me I'm an apologist for the DLP. I trying to give a reason for the Prime Minister's silence, and I should get off the radio. And I said, I can't tell people to hear what I say.
Let me give you an example. You remember a few months ago, the Prime Minister was willing to meet anybody at a property in St. George to debunk the rumor that an alleged minister had owned the house.
Yes,
the Prime Minister was willing to meet anyone there.
I know that.
Now, the Prime Minister cannot meet. The Prime Minister can make statements at partisan meetings.
I just told you what I said.
Anything about this serious problem, right? And this is, as Mr. Maskell said just now, this is what pays the bills. This is what pays the bills. And I've been saying for the longest while, we are going to wait until one of these tourists drop a lawsuit in this country because being made sick from that sewage until we get our act together. Anyhow, I promise you guys I will be short, and I just wanted to say that. Okay, I just wanted to reinforce that what I said on Monday was not, I was not trying to mislead anyone.
Just
saying our comparisons are there's no comparison between our economy and those three major economies they gave you on Monday.
Yes, sir.
All right, I was just telling you that they've had major growth, well, we've had major contraction.
So, and according to the information that I have, coming from Statistical Department, from the BHTA, they were very satisfied with the increase in numbers that, let me find the right numbers. The United States market recorded a 14.2% increase. Canada grew by 9.86%. The United Kingdom showed a 0.7% increase. Germany down 7.5%, performing worse than European markets. In the Caribbean, the numbers from Trinidad and Tobago, positive, the market registering 7.3% growth. The rest of the region also performed well, arrivals up 4.9%. Brazil, however, sank by 58.3%, falling from 2,778 visitors in 2016 to 1,159. So, According to the BHTA, hoteliers were salivating. The only thing they weren't salivating about was the fact that the average daily rate only showed a 0.9% increase. And I have repeatedly said why that happens, but again, I don't own a hotel, and as been pointed out to me as well, I never managed one either, so I should just shut up. So I'll just read statistics. They say figures don't lie, liars figure. So you can figure out which I'm doing. Brass tacks, good afternoon. Hello? 4341790, good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
You went to the letters, right, Dennis?
Long time.
Whoa, well, I think I sleep.
Well, happy wake up. Good morning, okay. Good afternoon, good night. Don't go back to sleep. I hope my voice didn't put you to sleep. Tell me.
I really sincerely hope that things will really improve for everybody in this country. I really, really hope so. And because it's a whole combination of factors, a whole set. And I hope people just stop and look back, think, however that they're doing wrong, try to correct it. Because it's not only about the individual, it's about Barbados in its entirety. I would like to see. You know what I find, Dennis? That, I don't know if you ever noticed it, that since when the government come to office, there's some people that, because they don't support the particular party, they kind of go on the ground. And it happens with both parties, party supporters. I would like those people to know that no matter which government, which party is in office, they're representative of the people of Barbados, and that they should always give up their best. That's all I got to say today.
Okay, sir. Yeah. And thank you.
All right.
Brass tacks, good afternoon. Hello? 4341790. Hello?
Yeah, good afternoon, Mr. Johnson. How are you today?
I'm fine, sir.
All right, terrific. I see you. I want to speak to you about something about Trump's speech there. First of all, I see you beat the stats, man.
I do, man.
On the tourist issue. I picked up on it yesterday when the Central Bank was speaking too. I was expecting to hear the stats man coming to talk about it because I know that's one of his favorite topics.
But well, maybe he'll wait on Peter or David.
Well, you don't like talking to you.
No, I didn't say so, sir. So there's some people who don't engage me. I didn't say they don't like talking to me. They don't engage me. Maybe I don't know enough to talk to them about it. I don't know. So people choose who they want to talk to. There's a gentleman who talks to Peter about polls. He mentions me from time to time with Peter, but he don't talk to me. But that's life.
I hear you. Wow. Before we go on to Trump, I understand that some fellows in the chat were criticizing Mr. Nasser for not speaking on some issues. Well, if they had not, as our Rastafari said, sleep too strong, they would know from the BBC why two women who are independent of feminists in Saudi Arabia said that they would not want to drive in Saudi Arabia. And if they do further research, they would know why. You see, we hear the voices of the few because the Western media let that through. But we don't always say it. But these two feminists were actually interviewed on Hard Talk. And they said they would not want to drive in Saudi Arabia. And there's a reason for it. And there's a research which was documented by a global body which shows why driving in Saudi Arabia is kind of strange. Even for men. Anyway, I got a youngster last night on a program called Business Matters who gave a real accurate assessment of Trump's speech. And he even zoomed in on the word American. He even excluded white people who were born there from being Americans, which, as I stated before, is inside that book called Black Indians, Hidden Heritage by William Lawrence Katz. The word, the Seminole tribe, identified with Americans with the invaders who they made war with, along with blacks who were there before Columbus. And they said that the Americans invaded Florida. We made war with them. They asked us for peace, and we gave them peace. Now, you know, sometimes when a people when people lose their language and stuff like that, or if the history is not known, certain information is missing. There was a gentleman called Louis L'Amour. He was a celebrated American author.
Yeah, he used to write. He used to write Western novels. I had a whole collection.
Right, right.
Of them.
He used to write
Louis
that too, right? But but he also had historical records.
Yes, he did. Yeah. But that's how you. Right. That's how you wrote. That's how you wrote the other one. That's how you wrote the others. Yeah.
Right. Well, yeah, because I used to listen to his books on tapes, and if you buy some of his books, you even see some of them inside the books also. And he was saying, you know, when the indigenous people of the Americas had a water crisis, they knew how to catch water in natural formations,
things,
right?
Ponds and that kind of thing.
Right. And even if animals had died, they knew how to purify the water and stuff like that. Now, when Trump was only speaking about 250 years ago. What happened to people that were there before 250 years ago?
Apparently, they didn't exist. So, you see, the problem we have with history is that we treat recorded history printed in established publications as the only history there is. We don't worry with things like vocal transfer of information from one generation to another, and that's why I find it so difficult when we talk about generation gap and young people using this and old people using that. And by the way, I notice the economics is, you know, dominating the discussion. Well, you see this occurrence yesterday with school children on a school bus or on a bus that was supposed to carry them to school. I wait to see if we can get around to it, because right under it, there's this ZR slammed and talk about ZR culture. And yesterday, while I was producing the program, I got a call from someone who said, if that had happened on ZR, you would have heard. And I made a comment to someone else that perhaps we need to start sending the prison bus, you know, with iron all around it and separations in between it. We sometimes make political hay of the statement Barbados is more than a economy, is also a society, and use it to further divide the society, right? But if we understand, and if we really understand what our statement means, and if it was followed, we would have a problem with neither the society nor the economy. But you see, catchphrases and buzzwords and like the one being used by the same man you're just talking about, the President of the United States, make America great again. And then had to go back and say, but I don't mean America alone, and all that kind of foolishness. But some people taking it to mean make America white again. You understand why catchphrases and buzzwords is get to bite you in the tush. You understand? So we have a society that living on a false economy, they have no idea what they're doing. Brastax, good afternoon. Yes, ma'am.
Hello.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
How are you?
I am okay, and you?
I was on the phone with Barbados the day that Mr. Nasser was on with you, so I didn't hear everything that he said, but towards the end, I wanted to join if I could have, but I didn't get to join. Why I was on the air with Barbados today is that on the Izumi media and the terminal of Theatre Street, I see a travesty I would like to get rid of. It comes on like after every announcement, every news forecast. I'm weary of it. It's about 2 weeks that I'm sure it was on there for me. But I don't know how long it's been on there, so I've been trying to find out how long it's been on there. It's with the Fonda Stewart, Mr. Fonda Stewart. And all he is reminding the people of in those ads that on and off, on and off, on and off, is debt. Millions of debt. And the people don't seem to understand what he is promising them if he regained the government after election. Barbadians, black people in general, have lost the tone, the vibrations, and they need to get back in touch with those tones and vibrations. They need to be able to speak the mind and speak freely. This isn't what they were elected to do. But the people in debt all the time. and they don't seem to understand. And the man don't have any shame for the people and the things that he does and how he do it, which is very little. So if I could get rid of him off of that TV, that is what I was trying to do when Mr. Nasser came on. And I do always listen to him. But my time is a bit kind of short, so I don't get to converse.
Okay, ma'am. I thank you for it. Brass Dax, good afternoon. Hello.
Good afternoon, my bread DJ.
How are you, sir?
I'm calling out here, my brother.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was good to hear the Dr. Maskell, because I know the little arithmetic. You may know a little more than me.
That ain't true at all. That ain't true at all.
You get up in that big accounting, chartered accounting, and...
I lost, trust me. Lost. Once they get over $5, I did.
Right.
Because I don't have more than $5 at a time.
All right, then, DJ. That's where you just like me. Call a spade a spade. When you get up with them kind of figures, I lost. I know if I go to the supermarket, I go to a shop, and I get the body that dealing with me X or Y, I know how much change I have to get back. And that's really all I need to know. If I got a little two-step hideaway, and I go back to it, I know how much should be in the old dot. Anyhow, the whole thing's with you, my brother.
I can't complain. I stopped complaining a long time ago. It ain't as good as a lot of people think it is, though. But
no, it ain't good. But you know what I can tell you now? Eat some breadfruit. Eat some green banana. Eat some plantain. Eat them kind of things. They had to go and bring in a hand of plantain yesterday because the monkeys, they're springing from limb to limb, and the thing broke down last time. They eat off 8 good, lovely plantain. So I ain't getting an opportunity now to eat all my plantain and know that I can hardly go in the supermarket. So you better bring the air fast.
All right. Fair enough.
Right. Good. Now, DJ, I am sad. Real, real, real sad. You know why? I am a father. And you are a father. I think everybody will have challenges with raising their children. But for the last couple of years, we are seeing some aggression in these children. And I don't know where it is coming from.
It's coming from the parents. It's coming from you and me and quarreling with one another.
Yeah, but I don't.
Sir, come on. Sir, seriously, listen. You live in Barbados?
I
hope so, right? Good.
Yeah.
You just catch the bus and you just walk?
I ain't catching the bus for a little while.
Okay, you just walk? You just drive your car? The windows just turn up? Okay, but let me tell you something, right? When you see somebody walking along the road with their child, I ain't going to say whether it's male, female, or neuter, because then we have who is a feminist and who is a male chauvinist, and I don't like ists at all.
You're right.
When you see somebody walking along the road with a child, okay, and they go, come along me, you, stop here. How do you think the child going to talk to somebody when they see them? They're going to whisper in their ears? Thank you, sir. And when you call me and you start to quarrel with your voice raised, and I raise my voice more than you. I said to somebody yesterday, a friend of mine who has children, I said to him, children deal off of emotion. Before they even understand the words coming out of your mouth, they understand the emotion. Now, there's a gentleman who called this program who say he ain't have sex in 19 years. I can soon be right up there with him, but anyhow. He is talk about living in the same house and working it out. If you and somebody living in the same house, and every time you pass one another, you look at one another, cut eye, and suck your teeth under your breath, and bounce one another, you think the child didn't realize what's happening? You think you got to shout and cuss one another for them to know that one ain't green? And therefore, when they start to take out that in various ways, who you going to blame? The school bus? You sit at home and follow the news overseas on your cell phone, on your tablet, on your WhatsApp, on your computer. And you can tell me the child can wait until they get on the bus to hear the dirty language when they got something plugged into their ears all day long listening to their cell phone and you don't know what it is? Sir, we like to live in la-la land. That's the only thing I could say. The children get up one morning and make themselves, you know.
That is true.
We either took off with clothes or didn't and did a very deliberate act. So when people tell me about it was a mistake, I tell them it was not a mistake. You don't mistakenly do that. Okay? Say it was an error. I didn't want to do it. I didn't think that was going to be the outcome. Don't tell me it was a mistake. Not if you do it 3 times.
You're right. Because
I can get cussed from everybody today now.
Don't worry about the cursing, man.
Listen, I was worried about it. Sir, I was worried about it because they called me on a Sunday morning at 5:30 or Sunday evening When I trying to take little rest at 1 o'clock, and they abuse me.
But they gotta respect them. They call you.
What?
You
see this?
They gotta call you where you at Starcom Network.
Just tell me they don't get me there, and they can't call me on radio because people know their voice. But then they just call me and cuss me. I plan to go and live on one of them yachts that I hear people getting. Can't call me out there.
That I know about them this year, then.
Ma, let me tell you, I plan to put it right outside there, so in the carenage, so I could get up in the morning and just walk across here if I still working here.